Isaiah chapter number 6, I'll begin reading in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted, without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. My text this morning involves a repeated phrase. Three times in this memorable chapter, Isaiah responded, Then said I. You'll see it in verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me. You'll notice it again at the last of verse 8. Then said I, Here am I, send me. And then a third occurrence is found in verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? My family, the Hayes family, has a hearing problem. It's humorous and yet not humorous. My grandfather went to heaven because of his hearing problem. On a Sunday evening, as he walked to church, He stepped out in front of a car that he never saw and he never heard. And he went to meet the Lord. My dad has a terrible time hearing now at 88. I have found myself the last couple of years wanting to cut my hand over my left ear. My right ear works rather well, but my left ear is somewhat limited. My personal doctor is a Methodist, and he enjoys telling me that it's from screaming at Baptists all my ministry. I've noticed that my girls have inherited this hearing problem. However, their hearing, I think, is more of a selective hearing. They hear what they want to hear. Especially our youngest daughter, who is 15, I can say something to her four times, and she never hears it. At least that's the report I get. I think we all have a hearing problem in the spiritual realm. We need to pray often, as Samuel, little Samuel, was instructed, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." May God grant us renewed hearing in the spiritual realm. I introduce my thoughts with that idea of hearing because Isaiah has just heard from God. And we have him giving his response to what he has heard and what he has seen. Three times he says, "Then said I." Keep in mind, he has witnessed the glory of God. Jesus gave his interpretation of this chapter. And he said that Isaiah saw his glory. John chapter 12, verse number 41. If Jesus gave that commentary on these verses, then that must be what happened. Isaiah saw the glory of God. You remember his vision of God was inspiring. He saw him sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. And his train, or all the accompaniments of his person, all the excellencies of his character, came along with that vision. And Isaiah said it filled the temple. He's seeing God sitting on his throne in heaven, but he says God is so vast and so great that all the accompaniments of his character were filling up the temple on earth. The truth is, he is Lord both in heaven and on earth. Don't worry about having too big a bucket for God's blessings. He's big enough to fill heaven and earth. Along with his vision of God, he witnessed the heavenly creatures hovering around the throne in awe and reverence. One was crying unto another, "Holy, holy, holy." I had a young fellow who was a prophecy buff some time ago to ask me a question about those living creatures in the book of the Revelation. He said they have these different faces, Brother Hayes, and they must represent something. What do you think they represent? And And I confessed to him I did not know all they represented. But I told him they were definitely, awesomely impressed with the holiness of God. They cease not day nor night. If you're not interested in holiness, you'll not be interested in going to where God is, because it's celebrated there. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He also said that the house, that is the temple, was filled with smoke. Now, you younger preachers will have a battle with this. I think all of us have had battles with it. The battle of wanting a catchy title for your sermon. I went through that. I think I was probably justified in this text. Now I probably need a little more refinement to my titles. But I preached when I was a young preacher in verse number 4, where he said the house was filled with smoke. I told them I'm preaching tonight on this subject, holy smoke. Well, I do think I was a bit justified, don't you? But having seen the King, having seen the glory of God, we have Isaiah's response. And so I'm preaching for these few moments on the subject, in response to the King. In response to the King. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah is known as a little Bible, as the Bible has 66 books, the prophecy of Isaiah has 66 chapters. As the Bible is divided in 39 chapters in the Old Testament and 27 in the New, Isaiah has two divisions. 39 chapters, there's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New, but there's 39 chapters in the first part of Isaiah and 27 chapters in the last. And actually, as what is revealed in the New Testament in the Gospel answers all the questions that are raised by man's sinfulness in the Old Testament. So in the second half of Isaiah's prophecy, all the woes that are presented early on are answered in the blessings of the new covenant as set forth in Christ and His messianic kingdom. I have meditated upon it like this. Perhaps, you know, Isaiah is known as a messianic prophecy. Perhaps Isaiah said so much of Christ because he had seen so much of Christ. If you see very little of Jesus, then you'll have to give theories and ideas and props in your sermons. But if you see him, you can speak of him. The early church said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have both seen and heard. May God help us to say much of Christ. Now let's look briefly at these three statements in response to the King. In verse 5, we have what I'm calling Isaiah's response to the King's majesty. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In response to the King's majesty, Isaiah speaks of his own utter woefulness. You know, we're pretty good folks in our eyes until we catch a glimpse of the King. And then we find ourselves crying as well, I'm woeful. I'm unfit. I'm undone. I would summarize his response to the King's majesty with two words. First of all, Isaiah sensed his own unworthiness. He did not feel as though God had found the prize in revealing himself to Isaiah. He didn't feel like he was really going to be the prophet like no other prophet. But he saw himself woeful. It's been said, when we see God properly, then we see ourselves properly. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'll forgive the pun. But a friend of mine who cuts up a lot said, Tom, did you know Isaiah was a farm boy? I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, well, he was. And he said, his mule's name was Izmi. And one day while he was working in the field with Izmi, his overhauls came unhooked. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Well, I personally don't think that's what Isaiah had in mind. We can laugh about it, but, oh, brother, you talk about sensing his own unworthiness. He said, I am not fit to be a part of God's program. Woe is me. Now, the age-old argument is, did Isaiah have this vision before he ever wrote the first verse of the prophecy? Or did he have it at this point in the prophecy? It's my personal opinion that this is a call and commission from God previous to any of his prophetic ministry. He's just now relating it. Perhaps he's relating it because in the last chapter he pronounced woes upon all the people. Woe be unto you, he said, and woe be unto you. I can't prove this, but I wonder if someone didn't say, what makes you qualified to pronounce woes upon us? Perhaps Isaiah could answer, long before God gave me a message of woe to you, I said, woe is me. By the way, our pronouncing woes upon people is of no value unless we have sat in self-judgment upon ourselves. Woe is me, for I am undone. Notice he not only sensed his own unworthiness in response to the King's majesty, but he sensed his own uncleanness. He said, I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. Here Isaiah projects himself with the image of a leper. I am a man of unclean lips. The leper of the Old Testament was cast out of the community. And according to the Levitical law, he was to put a black cloth over his upper lip. And when someone came near him, he was to cry, unclean! Unclean! and they would pass by on the other side. Now Uzziah, who is mentioned in verse 1, died the death of a leper. You recall, as a king, he sinned by intruding upon the priestly office and tried to be priest as well as king. It's blessed, brethren, when we realize we can't play all the parts. God only ordains us for some of the parts. King Uzziah died as a leper. Isaiah thought, we've buried the leper. No more leper. But he said, when my eyes saw the king, I realized I was a leper. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I'm in a leper colony. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the king. You see, uncleanness is not just being able to isolate certain sins and saying that is unclean. But uncleanness is to be aware of your nature. And Isaiah said, I thought the leper died, but here I am a leper in the midst of a leper colony. We're all lepers. That's why Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all spiritual lepers. So Isaiah sensed his uncleanness in response to the king's majesty. Of course, at this point, one of the seraphims took a live coal, a burning ember, off of the altar there in the temple and laid it upon Isaiah's mouth and told him, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. And at this same time he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Of course, we have a special reference here to the Godhead as far as I'm concerned. Who shall go for us? Who is represented by the term us? This would be the same one represented in creation when God said, let us make man in our own image. There's no doubt a reference to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Of course, we already have had an allusion to the triune God when the seraphim cried, holy, holy, holy. For our God is a thrice holy one. Holy in the Father, in the Son, and in the blessed Spirit. And so we have, secondly, Isaiah's response to the king's mission. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I love that response when compared to his former response. He had formerly said, I'm undone, I'm unfit, I'm unworthy, I'm unclean. But now with the assurance that his iniquity has been purged and taken away, when he hears the cry of God to spiritual service, he says, here am I, Lord, send me. His first response to the king's majesty was one of woeful. But his response to the king's mission is one of willingness. Willingness. I think firstly he was willing to submit. Here am I. I'm not trying to hide. I'm not trying to run. I'm submitting, Lord. Here am I. It was also a willingness to serve. Send me. I'm not going to take off running on my own. I'm not going to venture out in my own plans. But if you'll send me, here am I, Lord. Send me. It's willingness in relationship to the King's mission. And by the way, none of us, as much as we want to guide and as much as we want to lead and help, we cannot say to one, yes, you are called. You must hear the voice yourself. Isaiah said that he heard the voice of the Lord. One of our former students said to me on one occasion, he said, Brother Hayes, do you think God is going to make me preach? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, my grandfather was a preacher and my dad's a preacher, and here I am at Fruitland. He said, I don't want to preach. He said, do you think God's going to make me preach? I said, well, I can't tell you what God's going to do. But my personal opinion is, if you don't want to preach and you're rebelling against preaching, why would God be hard up for somebody like you? Why wouldn't he call somebody who's willing? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. He didn't have his fist clenched. He didn't have his chest bowed out. But he's been broken and cleansed. And he said, Lord, if you could use me, here am I. Send me. Let me mention the final response of Isaiah to the king. First of all, we saw his response to the king's majesty in verse 5. It was a response of woefulness. In verse 8, we saw his response to the king's mission. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And his response was one of willingness. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Notice in verse 11, his third response to the king. I'm going to refer to this response as his response to the king's management. You see, the Lord does not call us for us to take over. He calls us because He's already in charge. He calls us to be His humble servants. And how blessed, how privileged we are to have a little place in the service of the Lord. The Lord said, I want you to go and tell, verse 9, go and tell this people. Listen to this assignment. He said, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed. He said, Isaiah, I'm going to send you out to a people, and the more you preach to them, the more blind they'll become. The more deaf they'll become, the more hardened they'll become. What an assignment. 17 verses of just as I am will not bring this crowd. And by the way, that's one part of preaching. The same sun that melts the snow, hardens the clay. And the gospel is a savor of life unto life to those who believe. But it's a savor of death unto death to those who reject the Lord Jesus. In answer, in response to this assignment, we see Isaiah's wariness, his concern, his troubled heart. And he said, then said I, verse 11, Lord, how long? How long do you want me to preach to these non-responsive people? These citizens of Jerusalem and Judah at large. Lord, how long am I going to have to execute this responsibility of preaching and seeing no results? How long will it be, Lord, until your remnant is manifested? And the Lord said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. You just keep preaching. I'll execute my purposes. I've not called you to execute my purposes, Isaiah. I've called you to preach. I'll take care of my purposes. But he said in verse 13, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. There'll be a remnant, Isaiah, in the last phrase of verse 13 said, the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And the best I can understand God's work with Judah, Isaiah's ministry was approximately 60 years in duration. But it was 100 years before the remnant returned. So Isaiah's entire ministry was without results. He had no great awakenings. He had no enlightenment in the eyes of people and in their minds and in their hearts. But he kept preaching. I say to you, beloved, in this hour in which we live, Jesus calls us to follow him. He does not call us to be the harvester. He's the Lord of the harvest. But he calls us to follow him. He told Simon Peter, I want you to follow me. And Simon Peter spoke up and said, well, what shall this man do? Speaking of John. And Jesus said, if I want him to be alive when I come back, what is that to thee? You just follow me. And I say, I'm not responsible for your assignment. You're not responsible for my assignment. We're responsible to labor where God puts us. And to be faithful until God's purposes are finished. Our oldest grandson was in a cross-country run yesterday in the schools in the county. He's in the seventh grade. And he'd been sick all week. And so I called him this morning. I heard about the results. And I called him to see how he felt about it. He said, Papa, there were 110 running. And he said, Papa, I thought I would do better. But he said, I came in 79. He said, I said, well, you've been sick. You've not felt well. He said, but Papa, I decided I just wanted to make sure I finished. Now, you may come in 79th in your city. You may come in 79th in your state. You may come in 79th in the overall view of things. But I say, make sure you finish. God has called us to do his bidding, not ours. And he calls us to finish and to finish well. May God grant it to be so. May we properly respond to the King.